What's up, guys? Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns, and we are going to be talking about your Cleveland Browns football schedule today, okay? So this thing was released. I did not get a chance to join the OBR show dealing with some personal family stuff. Wish I could have been on the Twitch, but nonetheless, I think the guys handled it well, as they always do. A quick reminder, I'm your host, Jake Burns. And yeah, it's an important topic, right? The schedule gets released. I'm not going to play the game here where I go through and tell you win by win. I think there's some funny stuff that goes on with schedules. People try to look at last year's win-loss as a justification for how good or bad a schedule is when teams turn over a ton and a whole bunch of things are kind of, year to year with roster turnover and different people and coaches and all of that and injury luck. So what I try to do is look at, I think Vegas odds do a decent job at this because they try to take into account improvements to the roster or issues with the roster, things that have not been fixed, and so on and so forth. So I try to look at that a little bit. And then also I look at the opposing quarterback. Does your team have a better quarterback? That is a huge leg up to getting wins in the NFL. So the thing that stands out to me first when I look at this schedule, okay, is 17 games. The Browns are on the short end of the home and away structure. Obviously, last year they got the extra home game against the NFC. So this year they only have 8 home games against 9 away games. I think they pick up that second one this year, that crossover NFC game when they're at Washington week 17. But what I do like and which should be encouraging to you is that a couple things. First thing is the primetime game structure. As we sit here right now, as this is released, what I like is that they get the Pittsburgh on a short week at home on a Thursday, week 3. They get a Monday night home game going into then a bye week with Cincinnati week 8 into the week 9 bye week. So you're not dealing with a short week. And then they also get a primetime Saturday game at home with the Saints. So the NFL says, hey, you're on the short end of the stick with home games versus road games, but instead we will grant you a way to make up for this by making the primetime games as we know them. There is a week 15 to be determined structure and then an end of the year Steelers game that is to be determined as far as I know, based on the schedule that we saw at the OBR early. But like to me, those primetime games are great. You don't play any road primetime games unless things get changed late in the year. And any of those short weeks, you get them at home as well, which is really, really nice. So, you know, even that week 4 game against Atlanta, it's a road game, but you play on Thursday, you get 10 days to prep for it. Another thing that I think we should like is, man, those first 4 games are very, very winnable. Very winnable. And how long has it been since, I think 2003, since the Cleveland Browns won their opener? And I can't imagine there have been many schedules since the Browns have come back that have been this favorable in the first 4 weeks. And what it does, man, it would be so huge for them to jump out to a 4-0 start. Now, this is entirely possible. They start at Carolina, a team in transition with a coach that we all think is a lame duck coach with a quarterback situation that could include Baker Mayfield at some point. We don't know, but doubtful, but whatever. It is dicey to say the least. They come home for the Jets and Steelers. We think the Steelers are going to be at a disadvantage at the quarterback position. Still a tough team. Obviously, the Jets, I think, are improved as well, but both of those teams we would think the Cleveland Browns are better than. And then a road game at Atlanta off a 10-day rest situation where they get to go down there and play Marcus Mariota. So it's like those first 4 games are great for 2 reasons. If you keep everybody off suspension, and what I mean by everybody is your quarterback in this situation, that's a first 4 weeks that you feel like we can win these games and be 4-0. And how great would that be as a boost? And then, obviously, if they were to suspend Deshaun Watson for any period of time, it does look like if it's the first 6 games, you at least have 4 there that are very winnable. Now, even the next 2, the Chargers we all think will be very good, but you're at home, so they're traveling from left coast all the way to east coast. That's a home game, hugely beneficial. And anytime you can get New England at home is also beneficial. The first 6 weeks are very favorable. Very favorable. And then we talk about you go to Baltimore and then you get to host the Bengals in a primetime game, which will be huge. You get the bye week earlier this year than the year before. You get that bye week week 9. I think it was week 13 or something bananas last year. So you actually get a mid-season break and not a break that is at the end of the second part of the third of a season where it just feels like it's so far away. And at that point, it's week 13. You don't even want to bye at that point because it's so late in the season. So anyway, that the bye week is helpful. You go to Miami off the bye. I think that's a nice situation. Go to a nice weather environment. You get Buffalo and Tampa. Those are definitely your toughest two. But around the Buffalo and Tampa, you get the Texans and, like I said, the Dolphins, and that's a really nice setup. That in between Bills, Bucks, and Bengals, and then the Ravens, you get the Texans. You also have the Saints, Commanders, two teams I think the Browns are in a far better quarterback situation than. So to me, this is a situation with the schedule where I feel the best about this schedule that I have felt in a long time about the Browns schedule. Now, does that mean they win a ton of games? Who knows? But to me, especially with that early start and what the morale would mean, I can see double-digit wins into the 11, 12, 13 range. I'm not going to throw out bold predictions, but you know, granted, everyone important who matters can stay healthy and has a chance to remain that way. It is at the very bare minimum a schedule that you say, man, even though we're short a home game and we don't have many primetime games, listen, I want the Browns to live in the 1 o'clock. I love 1 o'clock games for my work. I love 1 o'clock games because it gives continuity, a sense of structure to everything. And I think that it's probably best for the Browns to hide in the 1 o'clock as often as they possibly can. Probably not a bad thing for the NFL pre and post game shows and all the talking points and all of that. So I'm okay with that. Very, very, very much okay with that. So this schedule, really, really fun. Even though it's short a home game for those of you who are season ticket holders or live and die by the home road game. And again, especially, they only have, from week 10 on, they only have three home games from November 13th to January 8th or so. They only have three home games, so that's a tough pill to swallow. But some of those road games, Dolphins, Texans, Commanders, Steelers, are very, very winnable games if this Browns team is the team we think it is. So it seems like some of the leaks were okay. We got some of this stuff early. You know, there was the whole one account that got up to 10,000 followers who was throwing out erroneous stuff, but there were other leaks that were pretty accurate on this stuff. So, you know, I don't know if you're into getting the schedules early and you love to look into this stuff. It's not my thing, but you know, the opponents, you can look at the opponents and judge it. But what you're always looking for when the schedule comes out, you know, in the first 6 weeks, you get four home games. That's awesome. You don't have any West Coast travel in those first six games. You really don't have any West Coast travel at all for the entire season, which is awesome. Your road games, Panthers, Falcons stay in the East Coast time, Ravens, Dolphins, Bills, all East Coast time. Texans, you fall back an hour, but Bengals, Commanders, Steelers, all East Coast games. You don't have any of those long travel situations, and you just love getting four of your first six at home. It's an amazing thing, really, and you can include five of your first eight at home if you include it out to week eight with the Bengals. So the schedule sets up really well for Cleveland. Obviously, we're drawn to a couple of those key games, getting to Cleveland to see Tampa and Tom Brady one more time. That at Bills, that road game could be raucous if the Browns start out well. That home Monday night game on October 31st, Halloween against the Bengals, is a huge game. Thursday night game against the Steelers, week three, what's the Steelers' new quarterback situation look like? You get them at home, you know, and then obviously the game at the Texans will be a fascinating game for Deshaun Watson going back there. And then you also love getting a Christmas Eve game against the Saints. That's a really cool thing, to get a home Christmas Eve game against a dome team on December 24th when it could potentially be pretty cold. So you do like that situation as well. So fun schedule, a lot to talk about there. Hopefully you enjoyed the guys on the Twitch show. I think they did a really good job. We'll continue to talk about this schedule for the foreseeable future. And I think there's some interesting preseason games there too, with Chicago and some of those others. So we'll dig into that maybe down the line. This next little bit of the show is something you might not be all too interested in, but maybe you are. It's about, I asked the other day about show spoilers and when you can talk about them on Twitter and when you can't. So we go over a great DM I received with John Colosimo, where we talk through some of those thoughts on when you can talk about things, from TV shows to late night arrival TV shows to movies. I think it's a great talking point. And then also we talk about Doctor Strange pretty in depth. I share some of my thoughts, and like I said, it goes pretty in depth. So if you're not into anything Doctor Strange, to avoid spoilers, this is your you need to get out of this episode soon, because halfway through this interview with John, we dig into Doctor Strange a little bit. And I also warn you in that one as well, but just want to be clear on that, because I was ripped apart for spoilers the other day on Twitter, and I don't want that to happen again, because it really does suck. So just a heads up. John, just a little reminder here. John's mic is a little low. Tried to balance out the sound as best I could. He's traveling, doing a great job. He's pretty tired. He's jet lagged. So bear with him a little bit on that jet lag situation. It was just nice of him to be able to join, period, because we wanted to talk about the Doctor Strange stuff and some of those other points too. So appreciate your guys' support, and let's get over to that interview with John right after this break from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a loyal listener of this show, these are fun topics. So we'll start with one that I think is pretty interesting to a dumb tweet, maybe dumb tweet I had the other day, but we'll get there. John, what's up, man? Thanks for joining, bro, as always.
Happy to be here. And like I said, I appreciate the props for bringing my stuff, but I did have room in my normal travel bag. So what was good is we're trying to get good sound for this thing, so no reason for you not to bring it.
Let's do it. Let's hash out some topics here, okay? So this week, no, it was Sunday. We were doing family pictures, and I had tweeted about finishing the Ozark Part 2, and I thought I was way late. So when I got back in my car after these pictures about a half hour, and people were just so mad at me, I'm like, damn, I really thought I was okay to talk about this show, but apparently I wasn't. And some people were on my side, some were on the other. It was like, I thought like the 2 week grace window was about there. So maybe I was wrong. Am I wrong for a show that drops all at once to talk about a finale in a 2 week? It's like 11 days. So close to that, but am I really wrong on that or not? I need your opinion.
All right. I would say no. But also, I can tell you as part of a community like Game of Thrones. And when I say Game of Thrones, I actually mean Song of Ice and Fire. Mm-hmm. You really kind of learn in that community how to deal with these types of situations. So what I would say is that I guess it's different for each community. But I will say that the Song of Ice and Fire and that the way that that would go, because you had no idea whether people are coming in on the first book or the last book and those types of things. You learn to be a lot more sensitive to that kind of stuff. So I would say that you just got to be dealing with, I think, exactly how you introed this show, which is, hey, I'm going to give you timestamps. There'll be spoilers, those type of things. Those are exactly what you need to do. And
yeah, I dropped the ball on that. I should have said that. Here's a DM I got. I want to see if you agree with this. Maybe this is going to lay out the ground rules here for people. Okay. Got this DM from at 10 Cent Beers. Listen, I don't know his name. He keeps it discreet on Twitter. Hits me up all the time with great show recommendations. We have some good Browns banter. I really appreciate a lot of the conversation. He sent me one of the most thought out DMs on this topic I could have ever imagined. I want to know if you agree with all of these. Okay. So I'm going to read them to you. All right. So the first one, he says, you know, basically, I think it depends on the type of show. And these are the rules I've settled on. You can just agree or disagree or give your point here. Okay, John. So he said week to week show that airs at a set time. So think Game of Thrones, Succession, Better Call Saul. Fair game at the moment after the moment it airs. Everyone is on equal playing field. You can avoid social media until you have a chance to catch up, which isn't that hard when it's just one episode. Otherwise, it's a buyer beware if you log on. So week to week shows, set time, like 7, 8, 9 o'clock, you're fair to talk about it. Do you agree with that or not?
I do. With proper enunciation, yes, 100%.
Okay. Here's number two. This is a little caveat. A week-to-week show that drops at like a 3 a.m. So think Disney Plus shows like The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and some others. So the idea here is a 24-hour grace period. No one's going to watch a show at 3 a.m. People have to work the next day, so there's not the same expectation about when people will be able to watch. So you got to give people that night to watch, and then it's fair game after that 24-hour grace period for the reasons above. Agreed?
Yeah. I think it's still like, I'm drawing my experience from the A Song of Ice and Fire community, and we're dealing with very long periods of time. It's not what we're dealing with, Disney Plus and things like that. So I would say, while I would agree with that, if you're dealing with like long source material, you just make the appropriate disclaimers at the beginning of the show.
Are you a mute fan? I think people should mute words, right? Like, I hadn't seen Doctor Strange yet, and I think people should, I put those in to mute them. I think
people need to learn to do those things. But I think if you make those disclaimers, you're not responsible for people not doing those mute actions.
I dig it. Okay, here's the third one, the one that particularly pertains to what I am talking about. Full season shows, like Netflix drops a full season, such as The Ozark Part 1, 2, whatever. You have a 2-week grace period with caveats. It's the trickiest bucket to navigate, he says, because there's no universal expectation about when to watch, or more importantly, how to pace through the season. And a huge part of watching TV these days is about talking online about it. So we love the week-to-week stuff. He says the caveats are that you can talk about earlier episodes in the timeline. Like, it's fair to talk about the first couple episodes after the first weekend, but not any finale talk. You can talk vaguely about the finale and then go into more detail in the replies. Like, using your tweet as an example, he said, if you had just said, saw a lot of people complaining about the Ozark finale, but I liked it. I thought it was fitting with how each character had become. Then that gets the point across without spoilers and initiates or invites a conversation with people who've seen it. And people who haven't seen it would know not to read the replies if you haven't seen it, because you understand that talking about a finale. You can talk about the finale in more detail earlier, so long as you put a spoiler tag at the top of the tweet. Do you agree?
Well, I would definitely agree with spoiler tags, right? Like, that's an important thing. But again, I think Song of Ice and Fire, the length of time, those things, they've really laid this out well. And I think it's just a matter of laying out, hey, in the description, here's the spoilers. We're going to talk about spoiler-free from X to Y. You know, those types of things. Like, I think that's, they really did a pretty good job. And when you talk about a length of time, you're talking about a decade, more than a decade. You know, I think it's better to lean on that kind of community, where I don't think it's actually that much different than what you're saying. But I think the most important part to note is to have those timestamps to say, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, spoiler free type things for the next 20 minutes. Please tune in 20 minutes if you don't want to hear any of those types of things.
Yeah, so. I think that's fair. I think you got to put the spoiler at the top of it. But I think this is a good guideline. We don't really talk about movies much here, but movies, you definitely, in my opinion, I would at least give a movie a month, because the ability to get to a movie theater is a challenge for people. I understand.
I'm far less, actually, nice or soft when it comes to movies than versus when it comes to any kind of a show.
Yeah, because shows, you can manipulate your time and you're at home and all of that, but movies are different. So now we're going to talk about a movie, and if you have not seen Doctor Strange, skip past this. Heavy spoiler alert. Like, we're going to kind of dive deep into Marvel a little bit here for a minute, but like, you text me, I've seen mixed reviews on it, man. You text me the other day and said, this is the second movie you've walked out of. And I was like, I didn't understand what you meant at first. I'm like, oh, you left early. And then I'm like, well, damn, I've seen some good reviews and some bad. So yours was the heaviest lean toward bad. I saw it recently and I can see where you're coming from and I can see where other people are coming from. So like, the fun thing you told me was, hey, let's let you try to pick three. You have three opportunities to pick where I walked out of this movie. So Kelby, my wife, went with me. She also said she did. And she said that she could have walked out at certain points too. So take that for what it's worth. But she's also like super, I mean, she's very into the movies, the superhero movies, but she's also super pregnant and very hormonal. And I don't know, just I'm not all in on her opinion right now. Let's put it that way. Her mind's not level-headed, and you know this, John, from pregnant wives.
Yeah,
you know.
No, and it's not like being a mean to say that.
Yeah, okay, let's do this. So first guess, I actually started to feel this was the moment you left until there were two others that got better for me. So I'll give you my first guess. The first guess, I think, was a little too early still, but you might have, is when he meets himself in the warp dimension and he comes down and he's got the third eye in his forehead. And they start to have this battle that is, I guess, like movie or music notes that they're whipping around this bat. Like, I thought that, I could see.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's actually a pretty cool moment in the movie.
Okay, you like that.
What else
okay.
you got?
The second moment is when he takes a form of his dead body and the tormented souls are kind of all around him, and Rachel McAdams is a bit, apparently, character like Christine is able to fight them off, and he looks like he's straight out of the Thriller movie set or video set. I'm like, I could see him walking out at this point.
By the way, one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite music videos, but let's move on.
Kelby said he looks like from Hocus Pocus, one of the characters. I cannot remember the name.
Oh, what you can't do that. Come on,
yeah,
Kelby.
I can't remember
you know
who
what?
It was.
I need to spend more time with this woman.
She sent a picture. I'll try to post a picture tomorrow. Anyway, I don't know if it was Hocus Pocus. Maybe it was something else. I can't remember. It's late. The other moment I thought was pretty close to the end that I thought you might leave is when he's got the half-eaten face and she's the female character, this woman, young lady, whatever, who can travel dimensions. And I'm pretty open to new characters. She all of a sudden realizes this power because a half-bitten zombie face, dead Doctor Strange tells her with a wink this sob story that she can defeat this witch. And I was like, okay, I think this is the absolute moment he got up and left. And I hope I nailed it. Did I nail it?
Is that the one you're going with?
That's what I'm going with. I guess I'm wrong because you're asking. That's the one I'm going with.
It's not wrong by that much, but it was zombie Strange. Yeah. That was it for me.
Just in general, when he took off, when he stood up out of the rocks or whatever, that was the moment.
That's correct.
Okay. So I was in the realm of possibility. I mean, you could see it where it all. There were a couple of moments where I was like, oh boy, I can see it. Here, let's do this. Okay. So there were some cool moments. Listen, when Charles Xavier comes into the film and like you hear that little soft X-Men song playing, I was like, oh man, that was a lot of chills. That was really cool. So,
and I wanted to say, by the way, just so you know, like we've had conversations about this before, and I feel like the previous X-Men movies maybe didn't get quite the clout that they should have. So,
yeah, I think they've been disrespected over time, and I actually think they were fine. For the most part, were fine.
Yeah,
they're fine. They got a little. When they redid the first stuff, the X-Men Beginnings
First Class.
Or First Class. Yeah, those were good. I like those too. So,
oh man, what's his name? Like, is fantastic.
McAvoy
is also in Alien. What do you call it? And he's also in. In the.
Oh, hold on! I know who you're talking about. Young Magneto.
Yes. Right.
That's Michael Fassbender. Fassbender. Yeah.
Fassbender. Yeah. He's absolutely yes. Right.
Okay. So I thought there were moments in that movie. Here's the thing. Okay. I'm willing to ride it out with Strange because he's important to the first fit. The first phase came with Marvel came at the perfect time to captivate people. And they just, with the Infinity Saga, they did so well with this, with the whole thing. It was something we've never seen put together. We've never seen a decade long movie journey where all these movies tied together, the character, perfect characters, actors for the roles, Chris and Tony and so many others. And it came together so well, and the scale of their adventure and saving the Earth and all of it felt so big and important and vital that this next phase, which I think now is phase 3, I think I could be wrong. I'm not a Marvel junkie.
You're right.
That they like are doing some things, and I'm struggling with the scale. Like the whole point of this movie is essentially that Wanda has these two fictional children that she wants to be with. Or whatever. I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct me that these are fictional. I thought she like made them up in this little world she was living in WandaVision.
Made them up. Yes.
Yeah.
Like totally tying you into the WandaVision kind of thing, which I actually think like is one of the better things they did in this movie.
I would agree with that. I just the scale. I'm supposed to buy in on her being the bad guy. Like all in on her being, and you know, these movies are so villain based sometimes that it's like, you just need to have rooting interests. And I have a hard time rooting against Wanda for this character I've never met before. And I get the point of what everybody's doing and why they're doing it, but it's just hard to root against Wanda. And I'm also trying not to be like a agreeable guy who thinks every Marvel movie is done right and all of that. I just think that the next phase, my point is the next phase, which is going to be, you know, people, the Marvel was able to captivate people like me and my wife who are not Marvel or comic book junkies who are just got into it. Are they going to be able to maintain that? I think Tom Holland is a star. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is good. His character's hard, so hard to get movies built around. It's just a lot of sort of craziness, which is obviously the point of the movie.
Can I ask like a really weird question?
Yeah.
Does he or does he not have the time stone?
I don't even know if the stones matter anymore. I was trying to explain that to Kelby. I'm like, I don't even know that they even,
I just, I'm just they even asking, matter. Does he
I don't
have
know.
The time stone?
Because when he I opens up the necklace, there's nothing there. I really don't know what point do the stones now have. I have no idea the point of them. Wait, hold on a second. I'm being an idiot. They don't have them, right? Because what they did is they went back and took them from the timeline at those
and
certain
then
moments.
Entered them back.
Which, so yeah, they actually didn't get destroyed by Thanos, so they would still be out there. I don't know.
That's
I'm sure there are some people who
brain,
are like
my brain gets like broken. I love time travel movies, but I'm telling you. Like, I feel like he has a time zone, and if he has a time zone, that makes me angry.
I know. I don't really know. I don't. Someone listening to this, if they've stuck around, like, might know. I don't know. I really don't have an idea. So, I think the movie was. What other movie did you walk out of? What's the second one? What was the other one?
Van Helsing.
Okay, Van Helsing. Yes, that was rough. That was really rough.
Now, Van Helsing, I walked out of after like 15 minutes. In this one,
that's a quick one to pull.
Oh, yeah. Like I literally did that too. I'm not joking.
I walked out of the way now, back that movie recently. I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't do it. I just thought it was
this terrible. One, I walked out after understanding that there was like 15, 20 minutes left in the movie. I think I'm guessing, but I was thinking in my head that there was 20 minutes left in the movie. There was maybe probably 20 minutes left after that in terms of those like, you know, post-credit type 30-second scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
There was
you
only know? One. The second one was stupid. All right.
So I was thinking that there was two of those. And so I was thinking, like, there was 40 minutes left in this movie, and I couldn't do it. I just left.
I don't blame you. There were moments where I thought about it. I mean, I wouldn't have, if Kelby was like, I really, really, really want to go, I'd be like, I guess we can. It's not the end of the world. Like,
right. I was by myself, so I had no person to negotiate with.
That does change it. It does. So I don't know, man. Like, I think the movie was okay. I think Doctor Strange is a hard character to portray in movies, and the craziness that is his superpower setup here. So,
but
like,
I love that
it's
about
hard.
Him.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it for the average fan, I think it's hard. I'm just concerned. Let me say this: other than the Spider-Man arc, I'm pretty concerned about the next phase of Marvel. I'm willing to watch it all because I just like it, but like, I don't know, man. I think there's a world here where people are oversaturated with superhero movies already. And if the quality dips, like let me put it this way, Love and Thunder, Thor is huge for them. If it doesn't do well, they're in trouble.
It has to be big.
It has to be good, because if it's not,
like that's a thing too that maybe a lot of people don't realize. Like, that's a thing that happened in the comics.
Yeah.
And if people aren't willing to accept that, I don't know.
But that's the tough.
Going to be perceived.
That's the tough road to navigate, right? Where you're like, you're trying to portray comic things, but you're also trying to keep people interested because they need star power, right? They need Cumberbatch. Yep. They need Tom Holland. Unfortunately. Yeah. Chadwick Boseman lost his life. So that's like one of the guys I think everybody was banking. No one knew about his illness. So everybody was banking on him being a huge part of the next phase. So it's just going to be interesting. Let me just say, Sam Raimi, who directed this Spider-Man originals, he did those, such a heavy influence in this movie. I think he did the best he could with the script that he was given. Just some funny, like, some funny fadeaway scenes that were just very reminiscent of Spider-Man. But anyway, like, my interest is piqued and you are on alert, Marvel, that you have, you're the pressure is there to get something people can really attach to. And that's why I think Love and Thunder is like, it's wildly important for them to make that movie, has to be a hit. And the director is good and it should be, but you never know. You never know, man. So. All right, guys, shout out to John for joining the show, taking his time on the road to give us some thoughts on some popular topics, including Doctor Strange and all that stuff. So thanks to him for joining us at the last moment. And then appreciate you guys for sticking out this episode throughout the week. And hopefully you enjoyed the scheduled takes. And, you know, the NFL is never going to load the Browns up with primetime games coming off last year and a lot of the stuff surrounding them. So don't take it personal. They still got some good games. And I think overall, a really favorable schedule. So a lot of fun topics to continue to dig into over the coming weeks. A reminder, over the weekend, we should have two great episodes for you. We are going to get somebody on to talk about Jerome Ford, which I'm very excited about, the Cincinnati Bearcat running back that was added. And then we have an Oklahoma guest who is going to share all of his thoughts for your Saturday episode on the three Browns, latest Browns additions. And we might ask him about Baker Mayfield a little bit too, but he can give us insights on Winfrey, Thomas, and then Michael Woods as well. So should be some nice weekend episodes for you if you're listening. Pleasure. If you're out doing something in the yard or whatever it is that occupies your weekend time. Thanks, guys, for checking out this show and continuing to support the OBR in any fashion that you do. Have a great Friday and go Browns.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.